Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
I am so excited. Yes, you are recognizing a different environment for the show today. Welcome, listeners and viewers, to Mission Accepted Podcast. We are actually in my beautiful downtown living room in Vancouver, Canada, with Chloe Morgan, international DJ and incredible singer. You're going to hear more from her today. But I just want to say thank you, because our show is because you guys do what you want to do and what you need to do, and that is share, follow, comment. I love the comments that come in. So thank you very much for being dedicated. You know that we talk to people that are on a mission, and predominantly I know that you're on a mission too, because you wouldn't be here just laughing at us, having a good time with our trials and tribulations of making our way, making our passion our mission. So thank you for joining, and thank you for joining the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I love it. You know what I was thinking this morning when I was getting ready, because that's what we do. I always say the best times are in front of my mirror. And I was thinking about how we met. And I was thinking, you know, there's one thing about this whole new world of collaboration. It's like, you gotta meet. I mean, even when you were here today, I'm like, oh my gosh, you gotta meet Dee. You know what I mean? Because you guys are just in the same field, and you know that you vibrate the same, that there's, you know, a shared experience to be had. And I just love this whole thing. And I really, literally, was just on a friend's page. And I was like, she popped out at me. You know, you popped out at me, and I kind of clicked through, and I was like, who's this? This is a local girl that I do not know about.
The power of tagging.
But I just happened to be on someone's page. I mean, and here's the thing. I don't have a lot of time. Like, I'm not a by nature scroll person.
Yes,
it was
same. Someone
that had made a comment. Oh, they wanted me to check out their new book. And so I was like, okay, well, I want to go check out who they are. And, you know, into like their friends. And I was like, who's this girl? Right? And then I'm
so
like,
cool. This
girl's local, and here we are. So welcome to Mission Accepted, and welcome into my life.
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, and you know, I just really appreciate people like you too, you know, because I think a lot of like people these days, they're afraid to make those connections. They're afraid to like take those steps. And I think we're very like-minded in that way. We don't let fear kind of like stop us, you know, from making those connections. So I really, really appreciated you reaching out. And I was like, this woman's really cool, you know, and you right away were like, I gotta have you part of what we're doing. So yeah, that's really, really awesome.
No, that's a good point, because I think that there's different times in our life. I think as we get wiser, I'll just use the word wiser, we kind of get braver. I know, I was listening to...
And careless.
Yeah.
Careless about what people think.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're like, reach out, don't reach out, and not taking it personal. Not taking it personal, right? We've got so much going on in our lives. We have so much going on in our lives that if someone sends us something, I'm sure you and I both do our best to get back, even if it's like, hey, super busy right now, call me at the end of June when my project's over or whatever it is. And then call back at the end of June. Like, people have things going on and just not taking it personal, right? And recognizing that humans are humans, so.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's probably one of the biggest lessons, is not taking things personally. Because it's not about you. You know, it's always about them. It's like what they're doing, what they're struggling with. And the thing is, one thing I heard this a long time ago, or maybe a few years back, was people are literally thinking about themselves. They're like, they're worried about what they're doing, how they're coming across. Like, they're thinking, how was I in this situation? They're not thinking, and we're the ones thinking, like, how was I? What are they thinking about? Yeah. As soon as you get past that and you're like moving forward, like, that you can't, I think in life, you can't get stuck in any type of situation. You just got to like let things kind of move, you know, and just kind of, you got to go through things and like not hold on to things. You know, we can't be in the past or in too much in the future. We can have those goals, dreams, and aspirations, but I think it's really something powerful about literally being present, and that is actually where the magic, the miracles, all that beautiful stuff happens, is in this very present moment.
Which is really interesting because, you know, I'm a little bit of a music fan, and for me, people...
Just a little bit.
And even my chapter in the book, which, of course, you are in the book, and we're so grateful for you being in the book, and
yeah,
you're doing
too.
So much more around the 262 Project, which we'll dig into in a little
yeah.
bit. But, you know, on my chapter, I wrote music as my therapist. And the reason why I did that is because music does exactly that, right? It, like, brings me in. For some reason, music just takes everything out of my brain, and I just hear the lyrics. And I know sometimes it's interesting because my son will go, like, he hears the beat, right? Mm. He's just like, the beat, and I'm like, dude, and we've all done it. I'm like, that's not the line. He's like, really? I'm like, no, I hear the words, he hears the beat. But even this morning, right? This morning I was like getting ready, I just came through a big project, and I'm like, you know, getting excited for you to come today, and I'm like, I need to ground myself. And I stuck on Supertramp, and I'm like, and I just heard the words, and it brought me into today. I wasn't really thinking about anything else but today and what we were going to get done today. But so interesting that we talk about being in the moment, because music for me is it, and you're all about music. So let's dig into that a little bit, because when I heard your music, I was like, you absolutely need to be in the project. And the project we're talking about, as you all know, is the 262 book and the Stand Up Speak Up Summits, which is all about standing up, speaking up, and showing up.
Yeah.
And we're so fortunate that you're going to be singing. You're going to be singing at the event. You're going to be singing at Ocean's, a big public
yes.
launch at the Biltmore next year, right?
Yeah.
The weekend before Valentine's. And so
we're gonna bring that love.
You're gonna bring the love.
That's what it is, right? That's,
yeah.
And that's what I learned about music is actually, you know, from some of actually the Motown greats that I've been privileged to be able to like work with and actually can call my family now, like Chaka Khan. I actually just saw Chaka Khan
yeah.
when I was in Los Angeles a month or so ago, and that was incredible,
yeah.
you know, and just meeting, you know, and being able to like steward those relationships. I'm actually her sister is like my mother. She's like a second mother to me.
Oh wow.
And so she's been amazing when it comes to like counsel, mentorship, you know, within the industry. But music, what I learned from Linda McCrary actually, who's sung with people, you know, lots of people in the gospel you know, community
yeah.
of music. Like some of the greats, like she toured with Billy Graham. Anyway, she said to me, she was like, you know, music has got to be sung from the heart.
Yes.
You know, and that is where the greatest music really comes from. And so when we listen to music that has more of a negative sort of like, you know, vibe, and I don't want to like sort of pinpoint genres, but you know, it's not a secret that hip hop, you know, actually when hip hop was created, it came from like that love, loving the community, building relationships. It was like, it came actually from that love vibration. But as time has gone on, the messages change. I think we can all agree with that in hip hop music, right?
Yeah.
And so it's brought a lot of like negativity, where there is, that wasn't what it was about in like originally what hip hop was about. It was like, you know, bringing love to the community and helping one another and all those things. And so, but that is really where music, I believe, really needs to come back to. And I think artists really need to tap in to that place of, you know, love within themselves. Because it really starts from, the journey starts from within. You can't find it externally. It's like no man or person or baby, no one is going to bring that love to you, you know, that only you can really find with deep within.
And I think that that's such a journey. Like what you just talked about is such a journey, but also the love within is such a journey. And I think by nature, we do get external. Like we do feel loved here or pulled in a certain direction, and it helps build on that. But I think as you have a few days back to back on this gorgeous planet of ours, that you start to realize that there's times where you need to deep and you need to pull it from yourself. Like
yes.
you need to love yourself, because look at no one, no matter how much money, how much success,
yeah.
how much experience, how much this, how much that, no one gets to sidestep the journey
yeah.
of self-love.
Yes.
No one also gets to sidestep the journey of things that happen, they're out of control.
The inner work.
Like the out of control things that happen, like we get our hearts broken, no matter how good we are in our craft or what it is that we do, no matter how great projects that we do, like we have these experiences where our heart gets dinged, our heart gets broken. we go to work one day in a job that we absolutely love and the company's closing. Like, we all have those dings, right? And then that's what kind of forces to have that conversation inside, which I'm a huge believer in journaling. But look, you've had a really interesting journey, and let's talk a little bit about how you came upon singing. I know when I first met you, you're like, yeah, you know, I was in a group band in London and doing this and doing that. And I'm like, wow, you've had a really a varied path, as many of us have. And the endurance. I mean, our show, we talk a lot about the mission. Mm. It's not, I don't think it's so much about, oh, I need to do this, I'm so excited. It's about saying that 5 years later. It's about the mission and the journey that it takes you on. So maybe share with us, because...
Yeah, so, I mean, I did share with you, obviously, that I was in a girl band. We were signed to Warner Brothers. But it actually, my journey started a long time before that. Right. You know, I would say I've been on the stage since I was about four. You know, I started doing, you know, with dancing, like ballet and tap, and then I was playing a music, like a violin, from like, I think probably five or six, something like that, but singing as long as I can remember,
right?
You know, and I always knew, I was like, this is what I'm gonna do. Like, I always have known that. It's never been a point in my journey that I've been like, what am I here to do? I've never been that person. I've always known exactly what I was here to do. And I think, obviously, like, as time goes on, it does shape a little bit different. And I think what I've learned throughout the journey is it's not really about me. It's really about other people. It's about how we can help this planet and how we can, just steward better relationships, and how is our gift serving somebody else. And I think that that's where the shift has been, from like self to selfless. And that's, I think, as the journey goes on, it should really become more and more selfless.
Right.
Because I listened to something the other day, and this guy was saying, when you become selfless, you're not thinking about yourself anymore. You're not, so therefore fear is non-existent,
right?
Because you're not worried.
Right.
You're not worried about, like, when's my next job, and like, how am I going to pay for this? And like, you're not thinking about all those things, because you're thinking about other people.
Right.
You're thinking about serving.
Yeah.
So you kind of come out of that space of fear and into, selflessness. So, the journey, started from when I was four, and, you know, I've been on stage from a very, very young age, and I got scholarships into, I was doing all of this all throughout school. Like, when school was done, I was then going and doing more classes, like after school, you know, singing classes, dance classes, acting class, all of it. And so I was kind of definitely like groomed, I suppose, from like a young age. And then I ended up getting a scholarship into like one of the top stage schools in London. And I trained there for 2 years. And then my mom was like, there's this audition that's coming up, you should go for it. And I was like, mom, it's for a girl group. I don't want to be in a group. I don't want this. I'm a solo artist. Like, that's not what I want to do. But anyway, she convinced me to go. I was in a very low point, actually, at that time, because my he was like a father to me. My uncle passed away. I'd seen him literally every single day of my life from the day I was born. Mm. He invested in me, my career. He would take me to all my singing classes and dance classes. Like, we would walk together, and like, I was always with him. And then he ended up having an aneurysm, and like, everything just, like, kidney failure, like, everything just happened in one day. And it was like my whole world just like blacked out.
Right.
And I went into like some serious depression. I started developing it was before that I started developing an eating disorder, because my mom has already gone through, at this point, like two divorces.
Right.
And I was sexually abused as a child, and like, things, you know, that added to the place of me wanting to control something, right? And when my uncle passed away, it was like the thing I just held on to. I was like, well, this thing, it served me, not in a good way, obviously, but it served me in the sense of like some type of comfort, something I could control, you know, where everything was out of control. Yeah. I was able to like grasp onto something.
Yeah.
And, you know, I obviously went on that journey, which was like over a decade long journey of trying to come out of like that place of depression, having an eating disorder, all those things. And everything that ties around that problem.
Right.
Because when you have a problem like that, your whole world revolves around it.
Yes.
You know, like any addiction, it always revolves around that one thing. Because yes. again, it's not about being, it's about thinking about yourself again, right?
Right.
And actually it was interesting. I was talking to, at that time when I was really struggling, I was talking to a pastor and he said, you know, there's, he was explaining about like ME, like the condition ME. And I don't want to obviously like, you know, but he was saying, because obviously everybody's got their struggles and some of it can be psychological, some of it is stuff we can't control. So no judgments or anything in that sense. But he was saying, think of the word ME. He said, it's me, right? It's thinking about you. He said, when you take that focus off of you and place it onto something else, that will really, really help you. And that was something that did speak to me, you know.
Yeah.
And like little pieces, obviously, that have kind of formed the picture to healing and wholeness.
Right.
But yeah, and then from then, after my uncle passed away, I was in that place of depression, went for this TV show that my mom was like, you got to go do this. I was like, and I ended up getting through. And I ended up keep getting through the like each stage. And I'm right. like, okay, this is getting serious. You know, and then I ended up making it to the live shows
yeah.
and making it to the finals. And I was like a couple of girls out of getting into the actual band. And then we ended up getting signed. The girls that didn't get into the group, right. we got signed.
Oh, okay.
And then from there, you know, that was like a year and a half, I think I was with the band. You know, it didn't work out.
Yeah.
Different. I think it's really difficult putting a group of girls together. You know, because you have different ideas and visions. And I think, honestly, like, really successful bands, you have to know your role.
Right.
When people don't know their role, all kinds of problems can stem from that.
In any business. I think in any cooperative, collaborative,
yeah.
you're doing a project, if people don't know where they start and where they stop.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because then it's like, yeah, but...
Everyone's treading on everyone's
yeah,
toes.
Yeah, and then everyone's, like, trying to fight for their autonomy.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, I think any scenario, but absolutely. Particularly, I think, when you're in a media form, you know, like, it's a media form and everyone has trained for that spot. So, even, I don't know the other girls, but if you are mostly solo artists coming together who are used to having presence, right? Then knowing that line, that would be, yeah, that definitely would be a challenge. Well, we know some bands make it and some bands don't for all sorts of reasons, right?
Yeah, yeah, and I think, so after I left that experience, then I took like 10 years of still, you know, trying to do what I was doing, but not being like, I wasn't a full-time artist. I was like, you know, having to work all these other, go back to a normal job.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I gotta leave the country, because I'm like, everybody knows me, because I've been on this big TV show. I couldn't get a normal job. Like, I'd go out, people were like, you hear that girl from the Gob? And I was like, I'm working in a restaurant right now. Like, this is not working. And
no.
thankfully, like, at the time, we filmed a video in Vancouver. That's what brought me here originally.
Yeah.
And I met somebody on set. And so I ended up moving out here, you know, being with this person. It didn't work out. But it was kind of like, I would say when I came out here, it was like, I took that time to, like, heal. You know, just really heal and kind of grow a bit as an artist too. And what ended up happening, and this is how the whole eating disorder sort of wrapped up, was my second father, who married my mum, he adopted me and my brother and had two more children with my mum.
Right.
He ended up having cancer and passing away, and I went back to see him, and I was like, and we had actually fallen out for a few years, and then we'd sort of reconciled, and then suddenly he was like gonna die of cancer.
Right.
So I went back there obviously to spend time with him, and I was in shock. Like, I could not believe what I was looking at. Like, I'd never seen anyone that thin as well in the flesh.
Right.
And I looked at him and thought to myself, like, he can't help what's happening to him, but I can help what's happening to me.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that when he passed away, it was like a thing. I was like, I can't live with this anymore. I can't. Like, this person had no control, you know, of them passing away. And they was desperately trying to, like, not pass away. But yet I have control and I'm slowly killing myself with this problem, right? And so that was it for me. It was like, I actually ended up going up for prayer, because I was always losing my voice. I ended up going for prayer, and the pastor prayed for me, and even though I didn't get my voice back straight away, the like bulimia, it was cured in that very moment. And I've been trying and working on it for years. You know, I was in counseling like years before that.
Right.
You know, so it was definitely a journey. It can suddenly happen overnight, but it's usually like a journey to kind of get there.
Right.
And so, yeah, from that moment, it was like, I just started really, I was like, that's it now. Like, I haven't got anything holding me back. I'm going to go to Los Angeles. I'm going to, you know, and then I was like, because I wasn't really dealing with my inner trauma.
Right.
So instead, I was like picking up marijuana and other drugs and like trying to fill that gap now that the eating disorder wasn't filling.
Right, right, right.
And then eventually, like, it just came to a head, right? It was like, I finally hit my like biggest rock bottom, you know, in 2014. It was like my life was a complete mess. I had lost everything. Went back to the UK with literally a suitcase full of clothes to my name. I'd lost everything. The home that I built, everything. And went back home and was like, I gotta do something in my life. Like this is,
yeah.
I was suicidal. I did not want to live because it was like everything was just a disaster. And I ended up reconnecting with God at that time. I was actually prayed for. It was one of the most powerful prayers I think I've ever, like people, had about 10 people lay hands on me and I was literally like shaking, like to a point that I was like there's some stuff like this, like being broken off of me right now. This is like insane. But it was from that moment that I was like, okay, I gotta live my life for God now, like on a serious level, you know, cause I'd made my connection with God like years and years and years before that anyways, right. But you know, the walk isn't a straight walk. You know?
No.
It can be a bit like this at times, but this is the mark I think that was like, okay, I'm gonna be serious now. Like
yeah.
I need to be serious because my life is like I don't want to live anymore.
Right.
So it was that year of healing and like going to everything that you could possibly think that I would need to go to receive healing. I was there at it, like deliverance ministries, Bible studies, like counseling, like whatever you could think of, I was there. Because
yeah.
I was literally like, I'm gonna die.
Yeah.
I don't want to live anymore. I was literally that low. But in that year, I learned to DJ. And
okay.
I learned to DJ. And even after 2 months of learning to DJ, I started approaching clubs and I was like, hey, you know, I'm a DJ from Canada. And, like, I did not know what I was doing.
Yeah.
I was like, DJ from Canada. And they were like, oh, this girl seems like, you know. And of course, they gave me, like, opportunities. But then they're like, she can't have been doing this. Either she's, like, not that great or, like, she can't have been doing this long. But
right.
So, obviously, it takes time to get, you know,
going
good. And everything. And it was literally 1 year after I was prayed for, I came back to Canada and my career took off here. Like, I've never worked another job since 2015.
Okay, wow.
2015, I've been full-time back in the music industry.
So if you take that back, I mean, you said 2014, you went home with a suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
And you were, like, you know, emancipated, it sounds like. You were pretty, you know, empty on the inside and definitely. And then by 2015, that's quite a, you know, that's quite a short span when you think about recovery. When you think about recovery and getting yourself back up, and good for you for walking in and like, I can DJ, I got this, I'm from Canada. So they're like, well, we don't really have, we can't really resume that because it's a different country. But it reminds me of Richard Branson when he's like, just say yes and figure it out afterwards, right? So
it's experience.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I'm like definitely of an experience type of person. Like
mm-hmm.
I'm one of those people, you just got to throw me into it,
yeah.
And I'm going to figure it out.
Yeah. Wow. That's quite a story. Thank you. There's a lot of transparency in there. You know, there's a lot of vulnerability and transparency. And I know I've been talking to a lot of women lately, and there's about sharing. Does it help my career? Does it hinder my career? Are people going to be drawn towards me because now I'm standing in this direction versus that direction?
Yeah.
Is it, like, even, you know, people that have had abuse in their background, or people that have had addiction in their background, or people that have had, and they get to a place in their life where, like, okay, I'm ready to share it, or I never want to share it. Did you go through any of that? I mean, you just, you just shared with us, thank you so kindly, because you know you're a beacon, right? So beacons tend to go, you know, I know my message isn't going to just maybe heal one person, it's going to heal a lot of people. Do you go through any of that?
I always learned, you know, the power of your testimony. The power of your testimony is like, is powerful, you know, and if my story can help somebody else, then I won. You know what I mean?
Right.
I already won, you know, And so for me to be able to share this experience, I do really believe though, I think you've got to be on the other side.
Right.
With a lot of it. Otherwise you could be sharing things that you're not necessarily through yet and could still be a trigger factor or like, you know, something that can set you back. So,
yes.
You know, I've always been quite, you know, I've always been a very honest type of person. I definitely went through, when I was like doing drugs and all that, I went through a time of completely like silencing myself and being more like, you know, hush hush, like wouldn't open up. But I think it was like I was just trying to hide. It was trying to hide, and I was being silenced as well, for sure, like,
yeah.
You know, by fear and all kinds of stuff that was going on. But I definitely, you know, as I shared more of my experience, it creates freedom. Because it allows you to be free to be able to share it. It's like the moment that you break silence, right? It's freeing.
Yes.
And I think the transparency can also give somebody else freedom.
Yeah.
It can, you know, when somebody else is, like, they're like, wow, like, if she can do it, I can do it. Like, if she can be honest, then I can open up, I can share too. So I really hope that, you know, my message inspires people that way to, you know, obviously, work on the things that they need to work on to help to overcome, but to be able to share so it can help somebody else. It's like your pain is somebody else's gain. Your mess is your message.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? So, yeah.
Absolutely. I know we're coming close to time. So a couple of things quickly. Share with us.
Already?
I have a couple of questions I want to ask you that are kind of off, and there's one question I have to ask you because it's what we do in the show. But so tell us, okay, where now? What's going on? How can we hear you? How can we this? Like, tell us what's going on for you now and what you got planned in this future.
Yeah, well, I'm becoming an author.
Yes, I know. International best-selling author, soon to be. Oh, she decided not to do just, you know, go in. She's in a book of 262 women of gumption, creative, and media, and entrepreneurs, and entrepreneurs, and women of history, which is a little secret and surprise.
Yeah, thank
we haven't
you for
shared.
That.
Absolutely.
Thank you for bringing me into this. It's, you know, it's a new avenue. It's amazing. You know, I'm really, really thankful for all the beautiful blessings and opportunities that are coming up. You know, so I'm actually going to be I'm creating a masterclass where I'm going to be able to share my gift and like lead other people to like learn to DJ and performance. So that's one of my projects.
And
I've got
she's a lot better at DJing now, just FYI.
Oh yeah.
No, yeah. just threw that in there.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely from the beginning. So, yeah, there's been a huge, and I did get some proper training. I did train myself, you know, trained myself, but then I was like, I need to like level up here. And I'm always about leveling up. Yeah, so I'm going to be releasing a lot of music this year. I already started releasing music last year and the year before, actually, but there's going to be a lot of music coming out this year. So I'm working with a team in Houston. I'm actually managed by my producer / manager in Houston. Amazing. They work with like so many incredible mainstream artists.
Yeah.
And like they took me on, and you know, it's been amazing them developing me and what I'm doing and my music, and it's beautiful because my music now that I'm writing with them tells a bit more of my story.
Right.
It's a bit more, you know, like in detail of, you know, even like my relationship with my uncle. I've got a song about him that's called like my own, and it what makes it so universal is it brings the audience into the song. It's super cool. It's like one that you would definitely hear at a festival. Like you can actually, we created it so even at the end of the song, it sounds like a crowd is singing. It's so cool.
That is very cool.
Lots of new music is coming out this year. My masterclass, I'm really excited about that. I'm actually gonna be starting a clothing line too.
Very cool.
Yeah. I'm working with another brand and we're doing like a pop-up line. So we've got like things happening for that, events this year. We're gonna be releasing that this year. I'm also going to be starting a makeup line. I'm like giving you all
Yeah, you're giving it all. You're giving it all, yeah.
But mainly it's all going to be around my music. So even like with my clothing, like it's all going to be music related.
Yeah.
Going to be bringing in like lyrical content and just uplifting, inspiring messages, you know, because I was saying to you, I think that I'm here to be, I think my message is I'm an overcomer.
Yeah.
You know, like that's been the story, that's been the threat. Like anything that you throw at me, I'm going to overcome that situation.
Yeah.
You know, I've gone through so much, but that has been like the theme and the stretch.
Yeah, the thread
that has kind of tied the whole thing is that I've been able to really overcome every situation. And that has definitely got to come through in the music as well. So, yeah, it's going to be, I'm just trying to think of anything else. I mean, there's a lot, like events. Lots of events coming up.
We've got, I want to make sure that everyone knows. Yeah, June 6th in Vancouver at Bimini's. Yes. You're going to be spinning and singing Biltmore for us on the 8th of February as well. And we're going to be giving everyone in the show.
That's 2025.
That's 2025, yeah. So we get our 2024 and 2025. Yeah. So,
and you know, who knows what else during the year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. A lot of great things. And I know that we've got everything in the show notes of where to find you. In case someone's listening as they're driving right now, pull over before you do this, and wants to look you up, please just tell them your website, and then I've got one last question for you.
Absolutely. So you can find me at chloemorganmusic.com, and all of my social handles are on there. Mainly my music platforms is Chloe Morgan Live, one word, and Instagram, because everybody's on Instagram, is Chloe Morgan Official.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, look, so let's shift gears a little bit.
Yes.
Two completely different questions. Mm. And one, you're going to go, that's not completely different, but it is. I'm going to take you out of your world of music and put you into the world of music.
Okay.
But one is, business aside, something we don't know about you, or something, like something on your bucket list. Like just a bucket list. Like, we, you know, we're big believers in what you say about comes about. And here's the interesting thing, right? You want something, you're looking for something. Like right now I have Tracy Chapman on my screensaver because I want her to come participate in this party that we're doing. All, you know, these hundreds, what do we got? Like 4,000 women that have come to the summits and 33 million. And so I got Tracy Chapman on my phone. So my big ask of the world right now is get that girl on my phone. Okay, so a bucket list, something that you want right now. Let's throw it out there because you never know. Like you never know.
Oh, could it be something in the career or something just...
Yeah, I mean, a bucket list. Like, if you look at your treasure maps or your journals or a long-term, it could be something 15 years from now. It could be personal. It could be anything. Just something on your bucket list.
Well, I would say instantly, like, a tour. Like, I want to tour the world for sure. That's definitely, I think, probably a goal. But I think I'm... bucket list. Well, goal bucket list. I want to do an autobiography.
Okay.
Of my life.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Well, I kind of know this person in books. I could probably help you with that.
Yes.
I don't know. But it's amazing. That kind of thing, right?
I just threw it out.
Yeah, I just threw it out there, right? So, and that's amazing. That it's like it plants seeds, and I believe in that. And so, this is a question that we ask everyone, even if you're in the field, and sometimes it gets a little tougher, or sometimes you know right away. So look, the last question we ask on our show is, if you are on your way to a desert island, you got this nice suitcase, one suitcase, and you could slide an album in there, other than yours, and it, you know, you're where you're going, there's a record player, obviously, it's a desert island, every desert island has a record player, and you could only take one album with you, what could you not imagine not ever listening to for the rest of your days? I know.
I mean...
and it can't be a soundtrack, and it can't be like your playlist. Like,
I mean, I would naturally say, like, I love gospel music, and I feel like gospel music would carry me to the end of my days. Like, I mean, I would love to say Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston. I could listen to them like all the time. Like, I just. One of my two favorite artists on the planet. But I think, you know, for me to know that I'm going to be okay, I would have to listen to gospel, like a gospel album. I don't know necessarily.
I'd probably
have to create the album myself. All my favorite. All
your favorite.
Music.
Okay, you're allowed to have the playlist. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Like, there's so much more. Even though we shared so much today, there's so much more that we're going to dig into. And I know this will not be the last time that we're sitting across in a show, a TV show, a podcast show, a radio show, whatever it is that we're going to be doing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming today. Thank you so much for sharing the way that you did. So glad that we met. And that's what happens. And you know what? I think it's a really prime example of what happens when you stay on the mission. Like, I always say to people, there's a great Scottish proverb, and I don't know why I'm pulling it up today, but it's like, until you say yes, all unforeseen does not come into play.
Mm.
So when you say yes, then doors open that would never have done. And that's why, you know, there's people that are like, I don't know if I can afford to do this, and I don't know if I can afford to do that. And they're like, oh, you know, it costs, I don't know, just give an example, it costs like $1,000 to do this thing, and I really want to do it for my business or my career or my passion or whatever. And I'm like, if you walked out the door today and you needed to buy 4 tires for your car because for some reason they're all, you know, they're all flat, they're all done, someone slashed them or whatever, would you find $1,000? They're like, yeah. And I'm like, you can. We can. So I think until you say yes and push yourself through what's going on over here, da-da-da-da-da, then the unforeseen happens, and I meet you, and you meet me, and you want to publish a book, and I get you in a book, and who knew? Like, who knew? I'm sure you wanted an autobiography before you met me, right? You know?
And I think just to add to that too, yeah, just to jump on the bandwagon of that, is also being open. Not necessarily that it has to be exactly how you think it should be.
Right.
You know, just being open to it possibly being a different way. Because sometimes we want to get to a goal, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes it's not the way that we think we're going to get to that goal. You know, sometimes God acts in mysterious ways, right? And I think from what I've learned is just like be open to, you know, the possibility of getting there a different way, because God knows all the shortcuts.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I will say a lot of it is doing the work. Like, definitely, yeah, like there's something to be said about, you know, I think my generation, your generation, we came from work.
Yes.
Like, actually, work ethic.
Yeah.
I mean, to laugh at it, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I think that we, you know, I enjoy the work. I enjoy it because that is gaining me experience.
Yeah.
Is by doing it, you know, and just being open. And I think, for me, I think that's where things have really shifted and more has opened up in my world, is like, it doesn't have to be exactly how I think it should be.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to open myself up and, like, and just an example of that, you know, my manager and producer, he's like, okay, we're going to do this. And at first I kind of like struggled with a few ideas
right
that he had. And then I was like, I just said to myself one day, I was like, let it go. Like, you've got this far, but this is as far as you've got yourself. Like,
right,
let the professional maybe tell you what you think, you know.
Yeah.
Like, because you can't just depend on what you think. Like,
right,
we need like lots of other ideas and things coming in. And the thing is, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Try again.
Yeah.
There's
absolutely
always tomorrow. I mean, it's not guaranteed, but it's like there is always usually another try.
Another way. All right, well, we are going to wrap up today. Thank you
yes
so much. Thank you so much for being the great listeners and viewers. And I know you're going to share and you're going to comment. And you're going to do everything you need to do. And if you want to be sitting where Chloe is sitting and you want to have a conversation, come on over to my living room. No, you know what to do. It's dev@devdrawn.com. We appreciate you. We appreciate you. Thank you very much. And people, always be well and stay groovy.